Welcome to the Sarah Podcast.
Welcome to the Sarah Podcast. This is the fourth episode as we do this here on Thursday night after the super late model race. Once again, we had another great week of racing to start out the season. We're only in week two and the racing has been spectacular. Car counts are up high. Got a lot of good things going on so far early in the season, which is always good to see. But episode four, we are recapping week number two of the season. I am your host, Matt Rolfe, league admin, driver the number 51. I'm also here with Clay Snyder, number 38. How are you, Clay?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Also here with Mark Gammick once again. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. And then we have a special guest for the first time tonight, officially. I've been saying it the last couple of weeks that we'd have one. Finally got one for tonight. I'm here with Michael German. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. So we'll talk a little bit about each race this week, kind of go through each division. I'll break it up into segments, I guess. And then after we talk about the street stocks, we will interview Michael for a little guest segment, special guest segment. Talk to him a little bit. And then we'll move on and talk about the pro late models and super late models as well. But to start the week off, we had the NEO Racing News SK Modifieds that got quote-unquote rained out, so to speak. iRacing was having issues that night, which was weird because I was able to put the session together, got it ready to go. It was working fine on my laptop, and then all of a sudden I was getting messages left and right that no one could join. I tried joining on my iRacing PC, and that wasn't working either. So instead of having all the issues, I said, screw it, we'll postpone it. So that race is being moved officially to, I believe it's March 7th. It'll be that off week, the first off week that we have, that Monday, which should come before the official build, week 13 stuff. So we should avoid any issues there. But that is officially postponed. So moving forward to the street stock race, we had a 75 lapper at New Smyrna, the second race of the Florida Swing. And it was actually a pretty good race. The first week was a little bit rough, and this time we only had three cautions, which wasn't too bad, which for New Smyrna, it feels like it's always hit or miss. And I know, Clay, you were commenting earlier about it was actually pretty competitive and pretty clean for New Smyrna.
Yeah, there was seemed like a ton of side-by-side racing, which was nice all the way throughout the field. I mean, I was in the back most of the time, struggling a little bit, but it seemed like you were constantly too wide. And the outside really seemed to work pretty well. You could kind of make a pass, but I mean, you could definitely hang with people for a while on restarts. So we only had three, but you could stay bunched up pretty well, and guys were clean.
Yeah, and the outside was where you wanted to be on the restarts, especially because guys are trying to get to the bottom and pinching that up. So the outside worked pretty good. Just to recap the race a little bit, Tom Wetmore, I believe, was inverted to the pole, but Wendell Stratton got the lead early, led the first third of the race, and then I believe he got caught up with a lap car, just a racing-type deal that came off the corner. One car probably thought the other one was higher than they were, and the other one thought they were lower than they were. They got together, so Wendell dropped back a little bit. So Tom took over for a little while. He led the next third of the race, and then as the race got down into the final stages, Ty Spearman got to the front and just pulled away like it was nothing. He was definitely the car to beat and went on to win the race, which is, he's one of those guys that if he was more of a regular, you know, full-time, he'd probably be winning a lot more races in all the divisions and might not be racing the street stocks like some of the other guys, but, you know, he's no slouch, so he picked up a good win, pulled away. There was no contest out there. But like we were just talking about, Clay, the racing was clean, but it was up front. It actually, guys were beating and banging off each other a little bit, but it was much cleaner than last week, and street stocks, they always seem to be able to handle that a little bit better than the other cars.
Yeah, they don't freak out like late models. They actually kind of understand.
Yeah, the other cars are a little fragile. So that was a street stock. Your winner was Ty Spearman. I'll go through the top 10, I'll do the top five here, and I'll mention a couple other names that finished pretty well. So Ty Spearman was your winner. Tom Wetmore had another good run, finished second. Hunter Combs finished third. Wendell Stratton fourth, and Tyler Price fifth. A couple other guys that finished towards the front of the field. Jim Caudill had a good run. Cameron Hamilton had a good run. Myers, I believe, was caught up in an, Kevin J. Myers was caught up in an incident mid-race and was able to still finish top 10. Your week one winner came in 14th this past week, Tommy Burns. And then translating all that over into the point standings, Hunter Combs is the points leader by 5 points. He actually finished the best in the Florida swing, which was a nice little twist that we've added this season. You know, racing a couple sets of different tracks and same in the in locations that are close to each other. So we did the Florida swing, and they gained some bonus points there. I know I struggled a little bit, got 12th, and Clay, as you said, you finished 20th. But it just shows you that even though it's a street stocks and we restrict guys from that division, it's still pretty competitive.
Yeah.
And we had enough cars that were trying to qualify to make the field that it was tough. I think the strength of the field was still 3,300 or something like that, which is pretty crazy for 30 cars.
Yeah. How many did we end up sending home? I don't remember.
Oh, let's see. I'll have to look at that. I know we had over 30 cars once again. We had 32 that officially attempted to qualify. So we did send home two or three, but it's one of those things where I normally don't feel like starting any more than 30, just because usually once you get that many, just it gets cluttered out there and cautions, you know, they increase when we have more cars. So 30 is about a good number. We try to cap it to. I'm going to take this time. We're going to switch over and do our special guest segment before we go into Pro Late Models, because this driver had a good finish in the Pro Late Models. So, Michael, you're on the clock. I'm going to ask you a few questions just to kind of get to know you a little bit more, let the other drivers out there get to know you a little bit more. So one of the first things I wanted to ask was, A, how did you get into iRacing itself? Like, what's your racing background and what introduced you to iRacing? And then the second part to that question would be, what got you into the league? Like, how did you find out about us, or what made you want to join the league?
I started on Papyrus's NASCAR racing, the very first one, racing with keyboard, and just fell in love with it. Always had a love for NASCAR. And then it was in 2012, I happened to be cruising around on YouTube and found Empty Box and started seeing more and more about iRacing. Found out that they got their rights back from the owners of iRacing, got all their information, the track surfaces and stuff. they got all their programming back, the rights to it. And so I joined in June or July of 2012. And then for the league, I used to race the Pro Lates a lot and just the official sessions, and was on the forums a lot and happened to see one of your posts about the league and applied. And from there, I've been pretty much stuck racing with you guys exclusively only. I rarely
Doc, I don't know if that's a good thing or not to be stuck with us, but
it had a lot of the same names that I was racing with all the time, you know, Bill Martin, Ty Spearman. So all those guys that I would race anyways and would be trying to push myself to be able to beat, they were already here. So it made it perfect.
So I'm looking back at some of your numbers here. You do have 56 starts in the league. Should be 57 after tonight's race, after the Super Late Models. 27 top 10s, just 6 top 5s, but seems like you're always right there in contention. So we've talked a little bit about it before on this podcast. Probably when you joined, it was right around the same time, like you said, a lot of those faster guys were kind of joining as well and running with us. So just, I guess, how do you see yourself stacked up against those guys? I you know, obviously your Bill Martins and those guys are really hard to beat. Everyone knows that. But I guess when you come into these league races, what are you expecting to get out of it? Are you trying to run for top fives, top tens, or are you just trying to be competitive? Like, what's your game plan coming in?
Well, prior to this season, I knew I could, you know, run the top 10 certain tracks. If the car's right, you know, I could be racing for the top fives. I knew that. But this season, the competition across the board from front to back is just a lot tighter. All the qualifying's been within like 0.3 for most of the field. Personally, this year it's going to be a challenge just for the top tens. It's pretty tough nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. Back when probably 2013, even the beginning of 2014, Clay will, you know about this as well, but car counts were pretty low in the league, and the competition wasn't quite so stiff. And then all of a sudden, a few of these fast guys started running, and it became quite competitive. And then, especially like you said, this last season was pretty good. Car counts dropped off a little bit, but this season so far, guys are really, really competitive. It makes it tough. Even I'm struggling to get top tens in a few divisions, and it just goes to show you about how good these guys are. And for someone like yourself, and for me sometimes, and it really shows that when you can compete for top 10s and top 5s against these guys, then you're making yourself better. Your confidence gets up there. So I'm sure being able to run with these guys does a lot for you.
Oh, of course it does. It's been great this year, especially like last night in the Pro Lates. Being able to race up front with everybody, it's been great. The racing's just a lot better. I think in general, less cautions overall. The racing's just so much better. I've really enjoyed it this season, even with bad runs and stuff. Accidents happen, but it's just, you can race everybody for the most part. It's this season's overall for SK through the Super Late, I think it's going to be one of the best seasons Sarah's had.
It's looking pretty good so far. I guess my last question for you regarding, a little driver interview here is, you've already touched on a little bit about what you expect from this season, but like, what's your goals for this season? Which divisions are you mainly running for points in, if not all of them? And what are you trying to get out of this season? What's your goals?
Well, this season, the primary focus was just going to be the SKs and the street stocks for the most part, and then just dabble in the pro lates and super lates just to get this league starts up. And just because it is a lot of fun to race everything. I'm sitting second now, I think, in the points for the Prolate, so I may have to include that. But overall, I'd like to be able to get, top 10 finish in the points for the SKs and Street Stocks. And then Prolate's going to kind of depend on how the next few weeks go, whether or not I actually run the full season for it and for the Super Lates as well.
So I guess it's a good transition over into the Pro Late Model segment. Doing a little recap of the Pro Late Models. I gotta find the number here. Go schedule. We had 36 drivers attempt to qualify for this week's race at Irwindale. It was a 100-lapper there. Irwindale, we've had some pretty good races there before, but at the same time, we've also had some races that can go really, really bad there. It's tough to pass. It's tough to run side by side. Unless you really give guys enough room because the lines kind of differ. But once again, we had a pretty good race. I think we only had two cautions that were in the middle portion of the race, and the second half went green. I guess I'll go over to Mark first. Going into qualifying, like I said, we had 36 cars attempted to qualify. And once again, you had to rely on a provisional. So,
yeah, I'm not enjoying having to rely on that, but the first two races have not been... places. I don't qualify very well anyways, but they've really been tracks that I've struggled at qualifying, and especially Irwindale, there's such a weird line to hit to qualify that I made one attempt at it and was like, yeah, that's not going to work. So I kind of had to go back to the more traditional line, and it just missed it. I forget what the margin was, but it was a hundredth of a second or something. Wound up 26th.
Wasn't by much. You were right there on the cusp and used that provisional to make the field and made the most out of it. You kind of picked your way through the field, took your time, and got up to 10th. It was a pretty good race.
Yeah, like I said, I always race a little bit better than I qualify, so I spend a lot more time working on being consistent over the long run, and that really showed. I was just able to keep the car underneath, and there at the end when guys were kind of starting to, I think their cars were starting to let go, I was still able to run pretty well where I wanted to be.
And then, Michael, you pretty much ran the top 10 all race, I believe, and then you ended up finishing up front. So you also had a pretty damn good race.
Yeah. Qualifying started off pretty decent. Looking at it all the times in practice, I was a bit worried. I figured I'd be about mid-pack. And me and Ian Lane were teammates this season. We were talking about how to do qualifying because I didn't want to blow my first qualifying lap by doing the line where you drop all the way to the bottom through three and four. So our strategy was to just do a normal lap on the track and then try it on the second lap. And actually what was funny was my normal lap running just the normal race line was the faster and got me into the top 10. I think it was ninth. And then the cheater lap, I call them, it ended up being about a tenth slower. So.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys use that low line on their qualifying laps. You got to really set the car up to run down there, otherwise it doesn't make a difference for you. So like you said, you ran that first lap up high and got you a pretty good qualifying lap. But I don't think either of you guys, I know I didn't, I don't think anyone had anything for Cody Kelly. Davey Riendo started on the pole after the invert, led the first quarter of the race. It was 100 lapper, he led 24 laps. And then Cody got to the lead and set sail out front, led the rest of the race, won by over 6 seconds. So, you know, he's one of those guys where it's really not ever surprising when he wins because he's pretty good all the time. But he just dominated that race towards the end. You know, there's some races where guys can keep up with him and or each other, you know, race around each other. He might pull away by a couple seconds. But when you can pull away by 6 seconds or more, it's usually you're pretty dominating. So he won the race. I believe it was his 31st career Sarah win. So just to go down through the top five here, and I'll name a couple other guys as well. So Cody Kelly was your winner. Davey Riendo was able to hang on to second, finish there. Michael, you ended up third with a good run. I believe that was your second best career Sarah finish. I believe you had a second before a season or two ago, but this was your second best finish. And then, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a good race overall. I was catching Davey at the end, but the tires were so worn, and where I was sitting, I just wanted to get the top five. Had a good battle with Wendell at about lap 80. We ran side by side for about 9 laps before I was able to get by him. And yeah, it was good side by side racing for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. There was a couple battles I'll mention here in a second just to finish out the top five. Wendell Stratton finished fourth. And Wei Toshida had a good run, finished fifth. I know, Mark, you and Tommy Burns battled for most of the race. He got you later in the race, and then you battled with Jason Williams. So you guys finished 9th. You got 10th, and then Jason 11th. You guys did quite a bit of side-by-side racing towards the end.
Yep. It was awesome.
And then me and Matt Eddy ran side-by-side. I believe it was for 19 laps straight. He finally got the best of me, and by the time he got by me, I was toast. My tires were worn out. A couple more guys got by me after that. So he did a hell of a job passing me on the bottom, which is always tough to do, especially on the bottom, but he made it work. And then we did have a couple guys that finished towards the back of the pack that were up front early on. Guys like Casey Kelly, Tim Bills, Joe Schaefer, Bill Martin, Tom Wetmore. A lot of those guys had trouble during the middle of the race and ended up finishing towards the back. So going into the points for that division, I believe Wendell Stratton has the points lead. Michael, you have an 11th and a 3rd, running 2nd in the points. And you got a couple other guys within 20 to 25, so right now that points is completely up for grabs. They really are in all divisions, but when you have your fast guys struggle in one of the first races of the season, your Bill Martins and those guys, and you don't see them at the top of the points, really shakes things up. So that one's wide open. But once again, another good pro late model race. Moving forward to the super late model race, last week we had 1 caution, tonight we had 4 cautions, so definitely a good way to start the season for the super late models. I don't remember how many cars officially we had qualify. I believe it was 32 or 33. We ended up taking 30 cars, so we did send a couple cars home. But again, tight field. We got off to a great start tonight, had a lot of green flag laps. I guess it was just me and you in the race tonight, Michael, for this one. I know for me personally, I set my car up pretty tight early on, and I got freight trained through the back, and I ended up getting spun out in one of the incidents. But then late in the race, it really started coming around. But I know a lot of other guys were struggling with being really loose late in the race, so I'm assuming they started a little bit looser early on. Not sure where you were throughout the race, but I know a lot of guys were falling off towards the end.
Yeah, unfortunately for that race, I was just a little too tight in the middle. I just couldn't get the car to rotate I should have stuck with my qualifying set and just dealt with a loose condition, because being tight, I just couldn't get off the corner at all. Ended up, you know, there was a lot of hard racing at the start, for the first like 50 laps. And unfortunately, I think I got into every single one of them. So I ended up in the back.
Yeah, there was a few wrecks there that happened in the middle of the race that they were kind of those cautions that are back to back. You have a restart, everyone gets bunched up, and then it's just so tight up at the front of the field. Guys are trying to fall in line, that a couple guys got together. I haven't watched the replay yet, but it didn't seem like there was anything too major as far as there wasn't any. I guess a couple cars ended up on the roof in one of the cautions. But overall, I think it was pretty good up front. The guys were being a little aggressive there in the middle of the race, but then it really settled off towards the second half. So we had a lot of green flag racing towards the end there.
Yeah, the second half of the race was, it's just that beginning part, it was almost like it was week one. I mean, we had a great week one, and I think all the excitement kind of rolled over to week two instead.
Yeah, not surprising there. We expect it early on in the season, so when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, that was awesome. And then when it does happen, it's like, you know, it's early in the season. It is what it is. Just to kind of recap what happened up front, Bill Brown led the first 20 laps of the race, and then Cameron Hamilton got by him for lap 21. And Bill actually got, once he got past Bill Brown, he ended up getting in one of the cautions and fell back as well, so he had tough luck early on. But once Cameron Hamilton got to the front, he, I guess he didn't really dominate, but he pulled away for a little while there and was, you know, had a good lead. I know Justin Brooks got up towards the front of the field at one point. I'm not sure what happened to him. I believe he pitted. He had damage early on, so maybe something happened there. But David Kerkorian ended up chasing down Cameron late in the race, came within a half second of him, but Cameron was too strong out front, built his lead early enough where he could just pull away and hang on there. So Cameron Hamilton picked up the win. I'm not sure, that might be his first career win. I'll have to double check on that. But it's always, I think that's the second new winner we've had this season, so that's always fun to see. But again, it was a pretty good race overall. Four cautions, which wasn't too bad. They all happened kind of quick, and so once we had the green flag racing, there was plenty of that. But I'll just go down through the top five here real quick. Cameron Hamilton finished first. David Kerkorian came up a little bit short in second. Cody Thompson had a pretty good run, finished third. Jason Williams finished fourth. He was a rookie last season, really impressed. I don't think he got the finish he wanted in week one, but did fine this week in the Super Late Models, got fourth. And Davey Riendo finished fifth. I have no idea where the points are at because I haven't uploaded those yet. I'll have to do that after the podcast, but pretty competitive here early on across the board, which is great to see. You know, a lot of cars coming in, tough to qualify to the field, and then the races have been spectacular so far. So I've been really impressed. That was, I guess, a pretty quick recap of the races. I felt like I did most of the talking, so if you guys have anything to add, I don't know if you have anything else you want to share or how your races went.
I only ran one night this week, so
you're slacking.
Yeah.
Nah, I know.
Rain out really hurt us.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was with that. Mine worked fine, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was an interesting. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I'm just enjoying the season. Practice before the actual qualifying now, it's a little bit nail biting, wondering who's gonna make it, who's not, and stuff. It's exciting to actually have that, to where we have the car count to where you really need to work on your qualifying set instead of just necessarily working on your team set in that session, or your race set, I mean.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed that as well as from the admin side of things, because you kind of, you know, I don't go out there for all 25 minutes of practice. I actually do quite a bit of watching on the speed charts and stuff like that, so see who's lined up where. And so it's kind of interesting to see early on in the session, everyone's running the race trim. Guys are obviously pretty close in the race trim, and then guys start throwing qualifying setups in there, and it's like, here we go, time to see who's actually got something to make the field, because the standings get all jumbled up. And then, yeah, as we get closer to the race time, guys are out there running really hard to get their qualifying laps in to find some kind of speed, because they notice they're right there near the cut line, and it makes things interesting.
But yeah, it's definitely adding that whole excitement factor for the races. And then working with the team this year, trying to make sure that Ian's up to speed with me and that we're on the same page, and trying to work with adjusting his car and him helping with mine and stuff. It's really exciting trying to, you know, find the speed and try to catch up.
Yeah. Hopefully it continues. I think we talked about it last week. Car counts will drop off a little bit, and they kind of did this week, which is no surprise, but hopefully they stay kind of right around where they are. It's it's nerve-wracking having 50 cars trying to join a session, because then you gotta add another session and all that. But you know, we have these 35 car fields that show up to qualify. That's a pretty good number. I hate sending cars home, but I know overall it's going to make the racing better when we have a smaller field. So I hope it continues, you know, at least through the first 4 weeks of the season until we get to the off week, and then we'll go from there. But I've been really impressed with the low caution count. So it's a big plus for me. Good job to everyone all around. Even, you know, guys that feel like they're off the pace a little bit, they're doing a good job running their own races and staying out of the way. So it should continue moving forward. But I guess that'll wrap it up. Did a quick little few recaps of the races and getting ready for week three, I guess. I probably should preview where we're at next week. Let me get to the homepage of the website. Go for it.
Oh, SKs are going to be at Phoenix, I don't know where street stocks are going to be. Late models are going to be the double features at Richmond. Oh, Concord next week for the street stocks.
Oh yeah, the first trip to Concord.
That'll be interesting. I haven't seen that track yet, so.
At all?
Nope. And then Irwindale for the supers. So.
Concord is usually everyone's favorite track.
Really?
No.
Oh.
It's a small version of Pocono, basically, and it's usually it's a pretty tough track, so a lot of guys struggle with it, but anytime we run it in the league, we have pretty good races there, so I don't expect it to be too bad.
The double features at Richmond should be pretty interesting, being that there are only 50 laps. Pretty well going to be go time from the drop of the flag there.
Well, and we saw really good racing from the SKs at Iowa, and that's going to be a similar kind of track for the pro late models.
Yeah, even week one in the super late models, we only had one caution in that race. I know that was a lot longer, but I think their first race will probably be fine because it's going to be straight up qualifying. There's not going to be a qualifying dash invert or anything like that. So the field should kind of run where they are after qualifying in the race one. But race two will be the interesting one, because you'll have, if we have 30 cars enter the race again, I bet we'll have at least 20 plus cars that get inverted, and that will be exciting.
Yeah, like Clay said, it's going to be what can you get and how fast can you get it. Second race.
There's usually two mindsets for me going into that. It's like, one, how hard can I push to get to the front, and the other part of it, and I hope a lot of guys think of it this way, is if you're running for points, it's like, I need to get to the front, but I probably shouldn't do anything too stupid.
There's a lot to lose too, yeah.
Yeah, because especially with it being a double feature, if you have two bad races, it's almost your two drop weeks, and that's pretty early on to use those.
Yeah.
So, Michael, that probably determines how far you're going to run this season in Pro Late Models after next week.
Yeah, it'll be a pretty good indication of where I stand on that one. Richmond's hit or miss for me. Some weeks I can run it pretty well, other weeks I can't. Unfortunately, with the super lates, I was having internet problems that night and I was able to get in to even run one qualifying lap, and that was the only practice I had. My second lap was almost enough to make it, but unfortunately it didn't make it in time, and it wouldn't have made the top 25.
Yeah, that should be fun. So once again, just to recap that, we do have Phoenix next week for the SK Mods. That'll be a triple crown race. Concord for the street stocks. Twin features for the pro late models. And then super late models will be at Irwindale for 125 laps. So that's what's coming up next week. But that should just about do it for this week, I think. I don't think there's anything else to hit on. So Yeah, that'll wrap it up. Michael, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the quick interview.
Thanks for having me. And I think, you know, I know other people have been saying that they've been watching the podcast, so I think this is a great addition that you've added to the league to have.
Yeah, I hope so. It's we used to do one back in the day, and I know me and Clay enjoyed it from our standpoint, but never really thought about it after that for a while. Then it's one of those things that it just adds to the league, something for maybe guys might not make their name in the race recaps, but maybe we can mention them every once in a while on the podcast as, you know, guys that did well and finished up front and stuff like that. So it's just a way to get more out there for everybody, kind of include people, especially if we do these driver profiles and stuff like that. So it's going well so far. Hopefully everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm still a work in progress.
Yeah. We're trying to get the recaps probably even a little bit shorter than we did tonight, and then overall just be a little bit shorter and come up with a better format. But we're still working on it here early on. We'll get better as the season goes along, and we'll have an actual format to follow every week that'll be the same. So
yeah, they've been great to listen to so far. Something nice to have listening to while you're cruising around the internet and stuff. So
yeah,
I know a lot of guys listen to stuff like that at work, so that's what I usually do, either music or podcast, so keeps me busy at work. But that'll wrap it up. Once again, thank you, Michael, for coming on board, and thank you, Clay and Mark, for joining me once again. That'll wrap up episode number 4 of the podcast. We have week 3 coming up next week. Should be some more good racing. And at this point in the season, things are starting to gear up a little bit. You kind of know where you're at against everyone after a couple weeks, so we'll see how things go from here on out, especially heading into the off week. But once again, thank you for tuning in and listening, and we'll catch you all next week.